Josh Morrissey has been offered and accepted an alternate captaincy with the Winnipeg Jets. It is permanent. Dustin Byfuglien will keep his, of course, and if we're fortunate at some point in time to have three, we'll figure out the rotation there. Brian Little has a concussion. He's in the protocol, so I don't have a timeline for you. Nathan Beaulieu suffered an upper body injury at the end of the last game. So we're looking at the next time you ask me about it, it'll be at least 4 weeks from now. Carl Dahlstrom was picked up on waivers as a defenseman to help bolster that group. Is that my list?
Andrew Kopp in the middle on that second line. I don't want to say why him, but what did you like with those three together?
With Andrew in the middle there, the minutes will be right. Right, I can use him strong defensively, real good face-off man. When you look at his point production in the back half of last year, 5-on-5, it equaled marks. He and it's the right, because now it can be a powerful line. It'll look differently than Brian there, but it's still a line that can eat minutes and play. We think he's got some comfort. I mean, certainly he's got some comfort at center ice, so he's the right guy to go there.
Eric Comrie claimed.
Today. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Is there a question?
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Was on my list, yeah. And then thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah. No, but just saying, obviously, he's been here forever.
Yeah. So you don't like to lose people ever, right, on waivers. But he would be one of, and I would say, most handful of guys I've ever had that you're truly happy for an opportunity, because you know he has to be in the National Hockey League. We love the guy. If you've spent any time with him, he's just a world-class kid that works. So he's done everything absolutely right, and he just kind of timed an organization that had some veteran guys ahead of him. So he'll go and he'll get a chance to be in the National Hockey League. He's worked hard at his game. We wish him nothing but the best, and we would certainly take him back in a heartbeat. He's a wonderful guy.
Lots of work on the power play today.
Well, it was the first time we've had the pieces, right? They all showed up. And our power play structure really hasn't changed. We used a video clip this morning of that power play unit from about a year ago, and it had Josh Morrissey on the back bringing the puck up the ice. So these guys have all done this. It was just kind of a, let's get back working at it.
How does his role differ back there than maybe from Dustin?
The role's like no different, but what's the different skill set? Left-hand shot. So it changes the passing angles up top. You've seen in exhibition, Josh will shoot the puck differently than Dustin. It's a one-time from Blake for Dustin, and then it's a one-time from Patty with Josh. He's looking for that hole, and that we felt with our power play, that was something, because they started to either really press Blake on one side or leave him and close out the one-time shooters. We needed a shooter up top that would find the holes in the lane, so we think that Josh can excel there.
I don't know if he wasn't just on that first PK unit as well. I don't know if Sammy was just a placeholder there.
I'm sorry?
The PK unit.
PK, yeah.
Used today.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Adam and Lauer or Adam and Andrew,
yeah.
Are they the top there for the top PK unit? I was trying to...
We've used those guys together, but because you've got Kyle Connor, Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele, guys who are running on the power play, they don't kill at the same time. Sometimes those pairings different.
Would you like to not... is the plan not to use Mark and Blake then as much?
No, it's to use them. It's just not use them as early in the rotation. So if we can get a hot pair, and we felt at times that, you know, Adam goes out and Andrew goes up, that we could get Kyle and Brian at times out in the middle part of it, that you can get Wheeler and Scheif out at the end, possibly on against a tired unit, and then you've got this, with the way it's structured now, Nick Ehlers takes the box, so they may get a bit of 5-on-4 to 5-on-5 play.
You alluded before your RFAs had signed about how you might have Ehlers up with Mark and Blake on that line to start. Was there any consideration to changing it when say Kyle had signed Steele, or what is it that you liked about those three together that made you want to start?
Well, I mean, they were very, very good in that November, December range last year. We need Nick to get to that consistency that he's powerful all year. We also brought two guys back that haven't been at camp, and that's their first full practice. So before I you know, put a guy into the biggest minute hole, which is that, we'll let these guys get warmed up.
Kyle and Patrick have had some, Kyle alluded to the fact that they've had some bit of mojo in the past. They've had some big games. You know, whoever has been in the middle, whether it's been Brian or Andrew, you like those two, that duo at least?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at, you know, the most prolific guys, you've got Mark and Blake, and you've got Kyle and Patrick. So having a set of them together makes some sense.
What do you know about Dahlstrom at this point? I mean, I know that you're a short guy, but do you know much about him coming over?
Yeah, I mean, we spent quite a bit of time watching his game last night, and we got some really good intel from people that have coached him. So, big man that skates well for a big man, for sure. He's a defender and gap closure, and a lot of things that we've tried to, I don't even say implement, but get better at in our training camp, we think he can excel at. There's lots of room for growth in his game, but we view him as a safe plug-in right now. He's got some NHL experience. He's got clearly some size, but he moves with that size. So he's got some systems experience in the NHL. When you go back and look at the back half of his year, when we went in there in four games left, he played against Scheif. So they matched him against that line. Go back three or four games against Colorado, he plays against McKinnon. When they play in Pittsburgh, he's against Malkin. So when you've got kind of a younger group maybe there in Chicago, if the coach keeps matching that guy up against the other team's best, we like that. That's almost identical to the Neil Piant experience last year up until the All-Star break. He played against the other team's best.
So Brian Little and Boileau on IR?
The mechanics of the IR, what needs to happen there this afternoon with that, that'll be Kevin will take care of that this afternoon.
Okay. And talking to Villehanel, I mean, you know, it appears that, you know, he's certainly made another round of the cuts, and he's excited to be around. I mean, he's chomping at the bit to play on Thursday. You're not going to give us any secrets, but what have you liked, you know, particularly about him in the last few days?
I've liked what you would like when you see an 18-year-old defenseman built like him get into exhibition games. And then even more than that was our practices were heavy, right? A lot of one-on-one physicality to it. And what he can almost see it happening during a practice, he figures it out. He figures out that he needs to play Blake Wheeler differently than he needs to play Nick Ehlers. They've got different styles. And he's a smart guy. His pickup rate's real fast. His systems rate's real fast. What's unusual about Ville for what is purely like a very skilled young man and an offensive style player, he doesn't kind of come to the rink and say, well, this is what I do and I really don't need to do a whole lot more. He's interested in playing, being good at all parts of the game. So we do our one-on-one battles or we do any of the heavy lifting down low. He's conscientious and he's trying to get better in that parts of the game. So he respects the whole game, but he's darn good at it.
One last thing, Sammy was skating, looked like he skated well yesterday, and he was skating a bit today. Is he an option? Is he?
I don't know yet.
Yeah.
You didn't have set defensive pairings out there.
No, because there's seven. When we run seven in practice, so we had seven guys or eight guys on the ice, we won't set pairings. It's kind of by rest. And well, none of them have played together before, so it's all new.
So rotating them, when none of them have played together, rotating them and maybe not giving them the stability of having a pair heading into the season, what's the advantage?
It's just the practice, the style of practice that you have. So when you get into any 5-on-5 and you're running, let's say, 7D, the next group up, you're shorter defenseman. So somebody's got to come down. So it's a good idea. Hey, we'll put you together. You'll get some time together. And after the first rotation of the drill, nobody plays together anymore. So that's just the way it works.
Your secondary power play unit, last year you had two defensemen on it. Yep. You were practicing that at practice right now. When Brian comes back, is there any thought to putting four forwards out there?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that the expectation? What happens
is that your first unit, and this would happen a lot, Shife's group goes out and they end up taking a minute and a half, just in zone time. They're in zone the entire time. Once the clock hits 20, I'm going 2D, right? So we'll run 2D out because this game's going to 5-on-5 and you don't want to get a forward trap. So we have a 4-forward and a 3-forward plan. With Brian out, we're running 2D.
And that's all time dependent.
Yes.
So how do you practice for that then if it's, you know, one of two options based on time? What's the best way to practice that?
Practice both. We can't practice both because Brian's out today, so we just run that, and when they come back, we'll practice both. And now, once you've got this practice that they get some time together, they don't need to necessarily go back to it. We'll run four the next time. The second unit mentality is different. They know there's going to be personnel changes on that group, and they got a short amount of time, a lot of times, to work with that. So it becomes very simple. There's not a lot of secret plays or setup time. It's pucks to the net, you know, move it quick. So they're used to having a lot of change.
I want to go back to Ehlers on the top line because you mentioned November, December of last year, and that was a version of your top line 5-on-5 that outscored its opposition quite a lot. But I remember you saying partway through last year that that was also a time period where some of those seam passes got a little bit aggressive and you maybe felt they got away from the style.
I just thought that the game itself in November, December allows teams to, we scored 27 goals in five games. Right, power play was, I don't know, like at 45%, and we were hitting seams all over. It had to do with the opposition that we were playing at that time. Kind of like that game, we just happened to be really good at it. It's also a game that disappears on you pretty quickly after the All-Star break, right? It's a grinder then. And you know, Nikki's game, we used Patty there for about 13-ish games in March. We always knew that Kyle could kind of go there and it would be a good fit. We could always go back to it. So that is a really prime example of the challenges then of developing and winning at the same time. You know, you're sitting there going, we're trying to find something that you think works in January. It'll work all the way through, but these kids, younger players, will be good for a while and then they fall off. The pressure that Mark and Blake are under is to be dominant every single night, so we kind of need to kind of put fresh legs in there at time until something cements itself.
You mentioned earlier in camp that you're talking a little bit more about the places in the offensive zone that you're looking for offensive chances. And Nick, maybe compared to a Kyle Connor, for example, a little bit more jazz to his game. How does that affect that top line and how it looks for offense?
As long as the jazz doesn't affect the melody, that's as close as I can come to an analogy on music. I'm not really gifted. Does it mess up the tempo, right? You have to play together on that. To be a good offensive group, you have to be together. The advantage of Nikki and Kyle, they're left-handed shots. So you've got two righties there rolling out of certain corners. That puts you a good shooter on one side of the ice. Predictability is almost what Mark and Blake ask for from that player. It's whatever it is that you're selling, we can adjust to you. Just keep selling it every night so we can understand what your game is going to be. And that is the next step for Nick Ehlers. So you've seen the nights that he's brilliantly fast and he's on the puck and seen him defend at times too. Like he's on it and then he will slip to a perimeter game at times. Completely normal, and he's also still pretty effective at that. But in that hole, your consistency is the key thing that you bring, because the further up that lineup that you go, also the best players in the other world, and some of them are veteran guys and they don't have any inconsistencies to the game. You need to have that thing that you can count on to be a good line. We know, I mean, Mark knows where Blake's going to be on the ice for the most part because he's just been there all the time. He knows how to read it. He's just seen it enough. So you could say, well, wouldn't it be better than just make your decision, put one guy in there and leave it? That's fine if you're developing, but if you're trying to win, we need a guy going consistently all the time there.
Well, just the defensive elements that you emphasized during training camp, preseason, do you have a sense as to kind of where your group is at right now?
It was really good in preseason hockey. And the numbers that we would track, even from our preseason last year to our preseason this year, the areas that we looked at, we had some really significant improvement in that. What the value of that is, I can't tell you, because preseason hockey is not what's going to happen this week. And we truly have a different team today than we had 2 days ago. I mean, we were I don't know what the exact number is, but we're closing on 120 goals missing from our lineup from last year, and then I think 64 of it just walked through the door. So that changes an awful lot of things. Okay.